This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Former President Trump reacting to the outcome of his civil fraud trial, where the judge ordered him to pay nearly $355 million.
If I weren't running, none of this stuff would have ever happened. None of these lawsuits would have ever happened. I would have had a nice life.
CBS's Robert Costa with more on the historic ruling.
Former President Trump is planning to appeal, but in the coming weeks, he will be expected to put up the money or secure a bond. And sources close to Trump tell me that process could be a real test of how much cash Trump has on hand and of his net worth.
A massive home explosion in Sterling, Virginia. Officials say the blast happened when firefighters were inside investigating a gas leak.
We have transported 9 firefighters, 2 civilians, and I'm sad to report there is 1 firefighter fatality.
James Williams with Loudoun County Fire and Rescue described the scene as total devastation. He says there's a debris field well into the streets and into the neighboring homes. In Birmingham, Alabama, yesterday, 4 people were shot in a drive-by shooting. And in a separate incident, about an hour later, 2 others were found dead inside a car. Truman Fitzgerald is with the Birmingham Police Department.
To sit here and lose 6 community members in one day is ridiculous.
CBS's Jennifer Kuiper with details on another car recall, this one affecting more than 90,000 vehicles.
Hyundai says owners of certain Genesis, Genesis G70, G80, and G90 vehicles made between 2015 and 2019 should park them outside and away from structures until a repair is completed. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says that water can get into the starter solenoid and cause an electrical short, which can result in an engine compartment fire while parked or driving.
A new California law will go into effect this summer that will make sure there are no added fees tacked on to your concert, airline, or sporting event tickets, hotel rooms, utility bills, and restaurant tax.
I think that's great. That, especially someone that like doesn't have a ton of money, like that would be nice to know up front.
We see first, like, okay, what's on the menu? How much is this going to cost?
Not everyone agrees, though. A restaurant owner told the LA Times this means they'll have to jack up prices to make ends meet. Last Sunday's Super Bowl brought in a whole lot of money, and it continues to break records. The Nevada Gaming Commission says people bet more than $185 million on the game. That's an all-time high. The 182 sports books taking those wagers made around $7 million. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Governor Evers is considering new legislative district maps that experts say are an improvement over the current gerrymandered maps. As Mike Moan reports, fair maps should lead to more functional and responsive state government.
This week, the Republican-led legislature approved the map submitted by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Yuseli Flores with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition says if these maps are fully implemented, they'll finally usher in a more balanced legislative body.
These maps would change Wisconsin's future for years to come, and it will definitely get rid of what happened in 2011. It'll dismantle that partisan gerrymander.
Following the 2010 census, Republicans were in charge of the redistricting process and have since maintained large majorities in the legislature. That's despite more competitive races for statewide elections. Evers has pledged to sign the maps. However, some of his fellow Democrats have misgivings about the GOP's approach, including language that says the maps wouldn't take effect until the general election in November, excluding any special or recall elections this year. And some policy analysts say Republicans still might hold a slight advantage even with the Evers maps. However, Flores says that doesn't mean there won't be any progress in establishing the change advocates want to see. She adds this could help bolster candidate recruitment in marginalized districts.
Folks that might not have millions of dollars in the bank that are running because they're tired of big money politics.
State election leaders have set a deadline of March 15th for the new maps to be in place. The hurry to update the boundaries comes after the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned the current legislative districts in a December ruling. The court would have to choose maps if an agreement isn't finalized in time. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome author Beth Amos and Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson. Join us in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny skies today, high temps near 30 degrees. Winds will gust out of the west at about 20 to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, still breezy, clear skies, 25. Sunshine and 39 on your Sunday, breezy once again. For Monday, mostly sunny, 43.
Right now, 6 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 101.1 FM and the Civic Media app. I am your host, Don Brown, with Johnny on the board. We're coming to you live and local from the office of former alderman Don Paul Brown, located here in the WAUK studios in downtown Waukesha, right around the corner from Theodore Yalman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And I've got a very special guest this morning, County Supervisor Terry Thieme, also my predecessor in the city council. And he'll be talking about his upcoming re-election campaign for a second term as the 10th District Supervisor, as well as his long history of service to our city and really to our nation. And then and Terry's going to be with us all you know throughout the show. But at in the second hour, His Eminence Mayor Sean Riley comes in his capacity as a member of the Rotary Club to talk about their upcoming blues concert next Sunday that will raise money for the big Rotary Club's Blues Festival they have later on in the summer in August. So looking forward to seeing Sean. And Sean's going to have support from Bob Mitnack, who will be calling in to explain the concert and the festival. And talk a little bit about some milestones this week. February 15th was National Wisconsin Day, and so wanted to see what we could do to acknowledge that. And it was also, and Terry would appreciate this as a retired police officer, it's National School Resource Officers Day. That was Thursday, February 15th this week, and so we'll talk about that. When I was broadcasting the West KM game last night, I saw a couple of the SROs as I was walking out, and I got to wish them a happy National SRO Day, and they were very appreciative. So there's actually a National Association of School Resource Officers based in Alabama. So more on that later. And then Lieutenant Dan Notling of the Waukesha Fire Department will be coming in again to promote next Saturday's Melodies for Mary benefit concert, very important fundraiser for a good friend in the fire department, Mark Schrader, and his family. Their daughter, Mary, as many of our regular listeners would know, was diagnosed with leukemia right before Thanksgiving. And so we really want to get up for that. So it's going to be a great show. We're really looking forward to having you on. We're taking your calls here at 844-967-2789. You can also text 844-967-2789. So, again, our guest of honor, really quite a resume, and I had the number wrong. I think I had 40 years or 30. It comes out to over 30 when you consider it was 25 years in the police force? I got that right?
A total of 25. I was 19 here with the city of Waukesha. And then, of course, my 11 years as an alderman in the first district.
Of course, yes, my alderman. And then, you step down from city council. I think you're going to take some time off and retire and enjoy your family, your children and grandchildren. And then you caught the bug and you ran again in 2022, I believe it was, right, for the county spot.
Yes. I'm up for my second term now coming up. And it was truly a surprise. I had obviously thought about it. Dave Swan, who did an awesome job for our district. He was a longtime county supervisor for many, many years. And it was really never on my radar and, thought about it from time to time. But that's really about all that it was.
Sure.
When Dave was retiring, a good friend of ours, Steve Wimmer, had talked to me, given me a call and to gauge my interest. And, I was very honored. I mean, when somebody thinks of you for a position like that, where you can kind of help your government, help your citizens, your constituency, I think that's really kind of the ultimate honor that you can have. But and initially I says, no, I had enough. And then we talked again more later in the week and I'll see how it goes. And, the voters had placed their trust in me and, here I am running for a second term.
Love it. That's terrific. And so, one of the nicknames I've coined for you, Terry, or the nickname is the Fighting Saint. There'll be more on that later, but I think it's very fitting when you consider your service. You were in the Marines.
Yes.
And then you became a police officer. And then after your service with the police department, you got into the legislative sector. And
that's a job I thought I'd never have,
Right.
Before you get into politics and you're looking, just like any job, I guess, when you're looking from the outside in, you don't see everything. You don't have the full picture of what goes on. And I thought, oh man, that you're looking at the negatives and aldermen get all the complaints, it's a thankless job and so on and so forth. When I really got in the mechanics of it to see what it was all about and the benefits and the good that you can do in government, it was very, very rewarding. But just like anything, there comes a time where, you think you've given it all. I've said that with every job that I've had. If I can't do it to the best of my ability and, have everything into it, I'm not just going to sit there and draw a paycheck.
Sure.
And, I kind of felt that. I had some family opportunities and stuff, so I thought now would be a good time. And I guess I want to clear the record too, Don.
Yeah.
I don't think you and I really started out as friends when it came out. You were running against me, I had not known you.
Right.
I had backed somebody else to replace me when it came up to it. And I can't, I'm not afraid to admit when I was wrong. And I certainly was wrong. Don, you've become a good friend. The things that you did when you were an alderman in our district were things that I'd never dreamed of. You really did our district well, and you should be proud.
That means a lot.
It's too bad that, the redistricting happened and you got out. And Mike's doing a great job, too, not to take anything away from him. Not at all.
Yep.
But, I wanted to make that point this morning. We didn't start out on the best of terms.
Sure.
And now we're great friends. I'm not afraid to admit when I was wrong.
Well, and that level of respect for you was always there, even from the beginning. And one, for everyone's benefit, you had ultimately backed out of running for reelection at that point, but your name was still on the ballot.
Yes.
And I still lost to the ghost of Terry Feeney by 12 votes. And I'd won the in-person election. People that showed up, I think it was like a 5-vote differential. But I think a lot of absentee voters is what delivered the election for you. And that's a credit to your many years of service and to the reputation that you'd held in our district and our neighborhood. And so it means a lot that we have become good friends and neighbors. And it also means a lot, too, that you're representing us in the county and looking out for our best interests.
So about that, I thought I had things pretty much in line. Having served on the city for 11 years, I didn't think there was much of a transition or adjustment period. I'd be able to step right in. Although the mechanics might be the same with some of the branches of government that they have.
Sure.
Obviously the numbers are much bigger because you're covering a much larger area.
Yeah.
And there are different things. So even in the 2 years now that I've, or almost 2 years now that I've been a county supervisor, I'm still learning.
Sure.
And there have been some frustrations with everything.
Right.
You know, everybody's, I think, if they haven't, they should know.
Right.
The state has a surplus. Now, I don't know exactly what that number is. I've right. heard as low as $1 billion. I've heard sure. as high as $5 billion, and that's billion with a B as in boy.
Right.
You know, this past year, we had to adopt a resolution to the county funding some prosecutors and staff in the district attorney's office. And that's a state-funded position that should not be taking county tax dollars.
Sure.
The taxpayers of Waukesha County should not be paying for that. And the state is sitting on the surplus. Mm. However, and Waukesha County isn't the only one.
Right.
The state's sitting on the surplus, and they could be funding positions in the different county branches of government. And that's very frustrating to us.
I bet. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. I am embarrassed that I don't know this. How many county supervisors do we have in the legislative body?
25.
So, you know, after 11 years of dealing with, I think, mostly, you know, 14 colleagues to try to win votes over, it's an extra 10. And again, there's a bigger kitty, a bigger budget, and a lot more issues to deal with at the county level. Would you say that your work on the city had been good preparation for that?
I think most definitely. You know, it prepares you. You just like anything, you can get involved as much or as little as you want to. There's just, you know, I don't know quite how to characterize it, so I'll just say that there's just so much in government to learn. And you want to make sure that you're making informed decisions. You don't
sure.
want to inundate yourself with too much information.
Right.
But you want to make sure that you have all the facts with everything.
Sure, sure. And how would you view your relationship with your fellow county supervisors, especially the other ones representing other parts of Waukesha?
I think as a whole, I get along with everybody very well. You know, it's a bunch of different backgrounds coming together to serve the citizens. You know, there's on the judicial and law enforcement board that I'm on, there's a defense attorney that's on there.
Okay.
And you know, a police and a defense attorney, but you know, it's you get the different point of views, but you know, that's what rounds out the government. So you're making sure that you're capturing every point of view with everything.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always important to have smart people that disagree with you or maybe on the other side of the aisle, and because it's how you learn and it's how you share information and ideas.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. If it'd be pretty boring if everybody had the same philosophy and agreed all the time.
Right, yeah, no idea. And again, you wouldn't always have the best results or the best policy. And and that was the thing I loved about being on the council was that it was because it was nonpartisan. And you would find you have so much more in common with people that you may disagree with on the national issues when you realize that we're all united by the things that are important to us, you know, having clean streets, you know, good roads, good police, you know, safety, good schools, you know, all those things that, you know, good local economic development. So all those things that mean everything to us, you know, close to home.
And it's amazing when you go around and talk to people. They, you know, some of their first questions are still, you know, how did you vote in the last, you know, election?
Yeah.
What would you consider yourself more Democratic or Republican kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. The conversation continues with the Fighting Saint, 10th District County Supervisor Terry Thieme, and we're going to talk about his committee assignments, including Human Resources Committee. And don't forget, my guest next week is Tyree Pope III, comic genius.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the March protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Earl Ingram.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Basketball and baseball together. Okay, this week in Waukesha, we're back, and I am with the Fighting Saint, County Supervisor District 10, Terry Thieme, and we are talking about your some of the work you're doing on judiciary and law enforcement. You're also on Human Resources Committee. What's that like?
I was the chair of Human Resources as an alderman, so it was kind of a, I guess you could say, a lateral step. Those were two committees I wanted to be on, and Paul Decker was gracious enough to put me on those at the county level. And now with the new period coming in, I mean, I'm unopposed, so hopefully I'm reelected. But, you know, then comes a new county board chair, because, as you know, Paul's not rerunning. So we'll have an election for a new county board chair. And, you know, we'll
Paul
see.
Paul Farrell's not running again.
No,
huh?
Paul Decker.
Oh, Paul Decker. Okay, Paul Decker. Chair. Okay. Paul Decker. Yeah, because he's the county executive. Okay.
Yes. So. Paul Decker is the county board chairman.
Paul's going to step down, huh?
Yeah, he is. He is. So now we'll see once what happens with the new county board chairman.
Sure.
And you know, what committees he assigns everybody to. But yeah, I'm on the human resources also. A familiar person chairs that committee that you might recognize, the name of Larry Nelson.
Larry, all right.
So, you know, I had some history with Larry, obviously, the former mayor of Waukesha. And, you know, I guess I'm finding just a little bit easier of a transition.
Sure.
All new names, all new faces.
Right.
You know, much larger things to deal with as far as the volume. But, you know, basically the same with everything. I enjoy my time with both committees, quite honestly.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's, you know, for starting out, I think those are some good assignments to get. So
very much so. I couldn't agree more.
Terrific.
One of the probably the first contentious vote that we had is there was an issue with the sheriff's department as far as the pay.
Okay.
And the turnover was drastic, and one of the pieces of feedback that the sheriff's department was getting when employees had left deputies is that they wanted more money,
right?
You know, better benefits, more money, kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure.
And I found that pretty odd, only because when I was with the city of Waukesha, the sheriff's department and us, not that we were the highest paid in the county, but
right,
you know, we were in the upper echelon, but we always ran pretty much neck and neck.
Sure.
And apparently that gap grew, and the sheriff's department kind of lost some footing there with the city. So I was a little surprised by that. It was in the works, I think, just prior to me joining the county board, but they had laid some groundwork to give the deputies, the sheriff's department sworn employees, a $3 an hour raise just across the board to help with retention.
Sure.
And, you know, there were some that thought that, you know, that should be done during bargaining, and you know, that's what the issue is. It shouldn't be up mid-year without negotiations and so on and so forth. You know, I'm happy to say that vote passed.
Okay.
And one of the things I think that's important to remember here is you know, everybody, I think public safety is on the mind of all our constituents and every citizen.
Sure.
I don't think anybody has to look much further than a few years back with what happened in the city of Waukesha. So,
absolutely,
you know, you take pride in that. And in law enforcement, I also feel is one of those areas that you don't necessarily want to settle for second best.
Right.
There's a lot of great people. It's not as competitive as it used to be.
Sure.
But there's a lot of great people out there that can serve in that capacity. But, you're looking for the best of the best to represent your department. And that's exactly how I framed that when I spoke in front of the county board when this came to a vote. And I'm glad to say that it passed. I certainly respect the opinions of my colleagues with the debate that took place. But I think that's very important. And, you know, the main thing is that you don't lose traction, you know, because, again, public safety is on the mind and the forefront of everybody.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this gives me a good reminder, too, is that the City of Waukesha's Fire Department is hiring. So some great opportunities. I know you prefer the men and women in blue, Terry, but I think just, you know, opportunity to serve our city. It's a great city to work for as an employer, I believe strongly.
And I couldn't agree more. You know, a little bit of a roundabout journey for me. I as you stated before, I was in the Marine Corps, and I was all set to get out of the service and walk into the Los Angeles Police Academy. And, you know, when push came to shove, uncorrected vision kind of disqualified me. So
really?
A little bit of a setback. Now, okay. You know, many years later, LASIK surgery, and I can see fine. And,
nice.
But, you know, so I went back to my hometown of the city of Jefferson and, you know, worked part-time there for a while. And I got to tell you, the difference in times, you know, my training at that point was to ride around with one of the veteran officers and, okay, you're qualified, you can go out on your own.
Sure.
You know, later on I did get certified, but, you know, nowadays, you know, that would never happen. You know, there's just too much training and too much to know, but, you know, and times have changed for the better, I'll add.
Sure, yeah.
So I got my first full-time police job down in the town of Beloit. I went back to the city of Jefferson for 5 years and ended up 19 years with the city of Waukesha.
That's true.
So it gives you a well-rounded view of what the different police departments are like. And I'll never forget, it was a sergeant at that time that recruited me by the name of Rich Pigentini.
Okay.
And he says, you know, why do you want to come to Waukesha? I says, well, I like the opportunities in a bigger city. And his answer to me was, well, bigger city, that's Milwaukee. And I says, not when you're coming from the size right. of the city of Jefferson. I think at that time it might have had about 7,000 or 10,000 people versus Waukesha's 50,000. So, you know, much drastic, much larger difference with the two.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I guess as they say, the rest is history. And sure. You had mentioned in our talk prior to this, the school resource officers.
Yeah, February 15th, National, SRO Day.
And that's how I ended my career. And, you know, I got to tell you, one of the best jobs I ever had.
I bet. What school were you at?
I was at Waukesha North.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just the relationships you build. I still have youth that, well, they're not youth anymore, young adults.
Sure. But
I come across now and, you know, hey, Terry, thank you for, well, at that time it was Officer Terry.
Yeah.
But thank you for how you treated me. You know, you might have had to arrest me, but you always, you know, were very respectful with how you performed your work. And, you know, that really means a lot.
Absolutely.
So one of the most rewarding jobs, and now as I understand, they have that program expanded into the middle schools, too. It's all about developing relationships and partnerships.
Yeah.
I remember when Waukesha was just trying to adopt a program, and there was a lot of contention. I mean, you're talking about adding positions. You're talking about responsibilities. You know, you're talking about the difference between two different governmental bodies, the school board and, you know, the city council. But if you really think about it, and I don't know anymore what each high school has, what, 3,000 kids, you know, 5,000, whatever that number might be.
Sure.
But those are small cities.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at it in that respect, you're actually
with
responsible.
Younger adults that aren't as mature. You know, the brains haven't really developed, that frontal lobe and all the things.
So it's really a unique opportunity, and you know, make it or break it. You can either be, you know, part of the issue or you know, try to solve the issue.
Part of the solution.
The solution. There you go.
Sure.
So, you know, it was a wonderful experience, just a wonderful experience. Wouldn't have traded it for the world.
And I want to continue this conversation with Terry Thieme about the SROs as we look back on National SRO Day. That was February 15th. And also National Wisconsin Day was the same day. So conversation continues with County District Supervisor, the Fighting Saint, Terry Thieme, on this week in Waukesha, WAUK, 540 AM, and the Civic Media. And my heart is calling for you.
your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A New York judge orders former President Trump to pay up a lot in his civil fraud trial. Trump responds to the nearly $355 million ruling.
We have a corrupt judge. He's been overturned on this case by the appellate division four times already. It's a record. Nobody's ever been overturned on one case four times.
When fire crews were called to a home in Sterling, Virginia to check on a gas smell.
With firefighters inside, the house did explode. Multiple maydays were transmitted as the incident was upgraded to a multiple alarm fire.
James Williams with Loudoun County Fire and Rescue says one firefighter died, several were injured. Residents of Guerneville, California are nervous about more flooding as back-to-back atmospheric rivers come through.
When it rains hard, this creek rises and you're in for an awakening. I can't change anything, but I have to prepare.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
How to get out of a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team trying to rebound after that four-game losing streak. In January, they won 7 out of 8 games and were ranked 6th in the nation. This week, they're 20th. After finally ending a four-game slump with that win over Ohio State, head coach Greg Gard has tried everything.
We'll get out of it. You know, we'll get back. We had a bad week. You know, I thought we played all right against Purdue. It's been like a few possessions back here or there. It's been a bad half against Nebraska. But, you know, this last past week sucked. Yeah, and we got to play back. We didn't play well. So, get back to playing well, playing how we know we have, can play, how we have played. You know? So that's the main thing. It's just continue to reinforce, remember who we were and who we have been, and you've been that a lot more than what you've been the past week.
That's the Wisconsin Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny skies today, high temps near 30 degrees. Winds will gust out of the west at about 20 to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, still breezy, clear skies, 25. Sunshine and 39 on your Sunday, breezy once again. For Monday, mostly sunny, 43.
Right now, 6 degrees.
There's something magical about unboxing. When you unbox BritBox, you uncover a world of British entertainment. Stream the UK's most brilliant series, including new and upcoming seasons of Shetland, Father Brown, and Death in Paradise. Plus new originals like Payback, Irving Welsh's Crime, and Archie, the story of Hollywood's greatest leading man, Cary Grant. Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV. Stream with a free trial at BritBox.com.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History Story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back to This Week in Waukesha. And again, I'm joined with 10th District Supervisor Terry Thieme. And we, Terry, as a longtime member of the Waukesha Police Department, his police career spanned a quarter century. We were talking about February 15th this week was National SRO Day, SRO being the Student Resource Officers. School Resource Officers, which have become a very, talk about resource, and a real asset to our schools and our communities. And, you know, Terry had mentioned, you know, a lot has happened in the city in the past few years, and you're probably pointing specifically to the Christmas parade attack. But people forget that on December 2nd, 2019, there was a potential school shooting, not only at South, but at North, that were both thwarted by our student resource officers.
School
resource officers. Thanks, Terry. I just want to see if you're paying attention. School resource officers, SROs. And the city administrator at the time, Kevin Lehner, had twin sons at Waukesha South that day. My oldest daughter was either in the next classroom or two classrooms down from where the incident had occurred, where Officer Josh, the student, school resource officer at the time, had prevented the situation from escalating, thankfully. And I remember at the very next mayor's breakfast, which was, I think, like the following week, you know, Kevin was basically fighting back tears in terms of his gratitude for the SROs. And, you know, I felt exactly the same way. And I was talking to Kevin shortly after that, and he said, you know, a year before he and I guess the city leadership had fought tooth and nail with the school board, who at the time wanted to get rid of the SRO program. For what reason, I don't know. But I find it, you know, not only from a safety concern, but an engagement advantage that the students get to connect with our men and women in blue and find out that they really are people and that they care for the community. And they're not just there to bust you or arrest you or break up a fight or whatever that is. And you fast forward maybe a year to that tumultuous, that summer of 2020, where there was, you know, the George Floyd incident, and it spurred a lot of protests around the country. And in Waukesha, there was a march, a Black Lives Matter march, and it was a non-event, largely because of our school resource officers. Like, I know Joe Klein was one, and he was telling me, because I was concerned because we were worried about what could happen in our district. You hear all this stuff on social media, and you tend to overreact. But I saw Joe that morning, and he had said, you know, I know a lot of these students that are involved because I know they're my students, and we're communicating on social media. And they continue to communicate before, during, and after the event. And the people from out of town, these organizers, were just blown away by the interaction, the positive interaction between our police department and our youth. And that is directly attributable to the school resource, the SRO program. So it's not only what's happening within the walls of our schools, but throughout the community. And as you mentioned, I didn't really think about it. Years later, when you run into these people that you were engaged with from Waukesha North.
It, you know, with a position like that, it can't be just anybody. You have to have the right temperament, the right personality to be able to do a job like that. And it's cultivating relationships, you know, no more, no less. And the role of a police officer obviously is to enforce the law, but it's to work for your community. You're right. Working for those citizens. Those sure. Citizens are your boss, whether they're young or old, and you treat them with respect. You know, it is pretty plain and simple. Also sometimes very hard to do.
Sure.
You know, you think about it when you're looking at it from an officer's perspective. You know, I'm retired now, but you know, you see the worst in people. You generally see the people at their very worst when it's a tragic situation. And that might not be that's that snapshot or the picture in time of what that person was going through, but 99% of the time when they're not in that specific situation, they might be very stand up. You know, you just don't know. So, and that's something, the temperament that a police officer has to have is remain cool under stress, because it can go 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds. And just like the situation that you described with the shooter at the high schools, you know, it's that'll never happen here. I hope in this day and age now, that philosophy is not on the lips of anybody, because as we found out, anything can happen anywhere at any time.
Absolutely.
And it's the training that you go through that will prepare you for anything that's unexpected.
Yeah.
You can't just go and you attend your in-service once a year and then you forget about it the following year. It's what you learn from that point in time and how you're replaying things in your mind. As you're driving around in that patrol car, you know, as you're walking around that school, what am I going to do if?
Right.
So you're kind of always rehearsing scenarios in your mind so that you're fresh and you're able to react, you know, at a moment's notice when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just simply cultivating relationships. And you touched on something that's actually pretty, pretty near and dear to my heart when you talked about the Black Lives Matter movement. I said at that point in time, and I'll say it till my dying day, all lives matter. Mm-hmm. You know, no citizen has, no individual has any greater or lesser, market value than the next kind of thing. So to put one life over another just isn't the right thing to do. And I think that's what's wrong a lot with the country nowadays. We're just too divided. And at some point, you got to come together, because it certainly isn't looking good if, you know, the divide keeps growing.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and again, pointing back to the SRO program, we had some instances at there was a Waukesha South basketball game against Oconomowoc. And the student section of Oconomowoc was asked to leave. And... you know, you worry about something like that escalating a potential fight. But again, we had two SROs standing right there, and these young kids walked out. They made some signs. They made some not appropriate epitaphs, some maybe even of a racial nature, but the whole thing was thwarted and diffused. And then I was sad to learn at Arrowhead a couple weeks ago, there were some racial slurs made at some Black students sitting by themselves in a cafeteria. And some students were suspended. There was a hearing. And I remember one parent got up, and it was one of the, I guess, the Black students that was, offended. And he said they moved all the way up here from Georgia for football because Arrowhead has that, you know. And someone was asking about that. Well, gosh, what's with that? Like, Arrowhead's recruiting nationally. I don't have a problem with that. If you've got a great brand, if you've got a great athletic program, I don't care if you're a public school, you should be able to attract talent from anywhere, especially if they don't have those resources in the communities where they live. I take my hat off to Arrowhead for that. But you would figure if you're the leadership of that school, and yes, academics come first, but the sports, they're a big part of the brand. And Arrowhead and many of the other Classic Eight schools are feeder programs for the Big Ten, for great Division One programs, for great Division Two and Division Three programs as well. Some of that leadership just say, like, this stuff does not stand here. Just like you said, all lives matter. You know, we all treat each other with respect, especially when these young people are putting their line, they're putting, you know, they're in a way, they're, you know, like, football is it's a blood sport. It's a collision sport. I won't compare it to being a police officer, but there's a certain amount of physical violence you endure.
There absolutely is.
But it's just like, we should all be supporting each other.
Right.
And it's at that level, at the high school level, where there should be some serious learning lessons about how you treat each other with dignity. And again, I've seen time and time again in some isolated scenarios that my children tell me about, or that I've learned about from the SROs themselves, where they are a very valuable resource for not only diffusing violence or escalating or traumatic situations, but also being proactive about engaging and getting people to work through issues and finding common ground.
And that's something we didn't talk about, Don, but you're right. Anybody can be reactive, you know, you develop that rapport within the student body that they're not afraid to come to you and talk to you about different things. And that's the proactive part of this, is that, you know, if something's in the mix and, you know, you hadn't heard about it, a lot of times the students will come in and talk to you about it. And it's, you know, you might not contact every student.
Sure.
And more than likely you probably won't,
right.
But any student, they got to feel comfortable coming in and talking to you.
Sure.
I had another incident while I was at Waukesha North of an adult male that was abusing young teens. males while I was in there. And wow. You know, I went after him pretty hard, and he had threatened my family. The police community came together, and, you know, the gentleman was arrested, and, you know, nothing had happened, obviously. But to get these kids to open up, because, you know, sexual assault isn't something that's easy to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the impact that these SROs can make in the schools is unbelievable. And for there even to be talk about, you know, disbanding that program, you know, it's really a total injustice. And for districts that don't have it, I think they're missing out on valuable opportunities to, sure, to try to, you know, foster the relationships between the police and their community. Because you're the ambassador there, right? You're the ambassador, and you know it's not you're not walking around in your uniform and everything. Generally, you're in soft clothes.
Sure,
I take that back. At least that's the way it was when I was in there. You know, you wore your uniform at times, and at times you didn't. It depended on what was going on, or
right,
you know, you had that flexibility.
Sure,
and I'm not sure that that's the way it is now, but. You know, you blend in with the student body that way.
Sure.
So, you know, you're not that person in that uniform and, you know, the duty belt and, you know, you're not that, you know, body armor.
Right.
You're a person just like they are.
Sure. How many years were you at, were you assigned at Waukesha North as an SRO?
Two years.
Okay.
2 years. And at that time I think it was a 3-year rotation. I had retired out of there.
Okay.
So, and you know, kind of a mistake, I guess. You know, the grass isn't always greener. I had a civilian job opportunity, and you know, it still breaks my heart to this day. I left a job I truly loved to a job that didn't work out. But
okay,
you know, you don't look back.
Sure.
You keep looking forward, and
sure,
I kind of carry that with me now. As you know, I'm also working in public safety at Carroll University.
That's terrific.
So yeah, kind of ambassador for the university that way. I deal.
And I've enjoyed your text during the game too. So.
And I was going to say, I was listening to the game with Oconomowoc, and you had said that they're clearing the gym and everything.
It's unfortunate.
It you know, there's nothing wrong with it, supporting your team and the enthusiasm you show, but there's certainly a proper way to do that.
There sure is, no doubt. And so, but I wanted, since we mentioned Waukesha North, I want to give a big shout out to the North Star girls bowling team. It took first place in their conference meet this week, and they are headed to state on March 2nd. So congratulations to the team and to one bowler in particular, my niece, Sarah Orlowski, only a freshman. And the entire team's average GPA is 3.5. So another great credit to the coaching staff there at Waukesha North and to Waukesha North. And it's another great example that the sports can contribute to great academics too, keeping you focused, keeping you out of trouble, but really keeping you focused. So that's a great moment there. And then I want to include some more high school sports. Waukesha South was victorious at McGuanagal last night with a 73-66 victory. And the game that I broadcast last night, Kettle Moraine, the 8th-ranked team in the state, 6th in the area, in the top of the Classic 8, tied with Arrowhead. They were victorious over Waukesha West. Final score was, I believe, 68-44. Will Stuckey led all scores from the Lasers with 24 points. And note for Kettle Moraine is, you know, they don't have Drew Wagner this year. I think he's sitting it out, recovering from shoulder surgery. He's committing to Northwestern University. You know Drew's dad, Lieutenant Tom Wagner, who was acting chief in between Russell Jack and now Daniel Thompson. But
and actually now Tom is the deputy chief.
Deputy chief, excuse me. Thanks for the clarification.
I don't know if it's deputy chief or assistant chief.
Okay.
It has changed a few times.
It's still in the higher
during the time.
Yeah.
But yes.
So, but and Tom's pleased that Drew looks like he's committing to Northwestern just down the road there in Evanston, and I think that's a great fit for him and for that program to have a kid with his speed who can get in space. And some more local news, including the Carroll Minute, and more to talk about with Terry Thieme, including his platform for re-election and what he's doing as part of his campaign. He's much bigger geography than the old 1st District there in Banting Park. So I'd like to hear more about the Fighting Saint Terry Thieme. So much more to cover here on This Week in Waukesha. WAUK 101.1 FM. And take the show with you on the Civic Media app.
The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Yeah.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
It's This Week in Waukesha, and you're listening to Sam Cooke, Change Gonna Come, one of my favorites, Sam Cooke, and a great song. And it is Black History Month, and one of my challenges was, because we don't have a lot of apparent Black history in Waukesha, but I have my next guest next week is a young man, a cartoonist. He created a comic series called The Fair Fight. And his first volume won some awards, and he's also, I think they're going to animate his concept, which is exciting. His name's Tyree Pope III. He's a 2014 graduate of Waukesha South. He was referred to me by Dan Schreier, the associate principal and athletic director at Waukesha South. So really looking forward to having Tyree on. It'll be a pre-recorded show. And Tyree also has his own podcast. He covered the Sundance Film Festival recently. So, you know, again, young man doing a lot of things and living his own history. So really excited to learn more about that. And then continuing the conversation with the Fighting Saint, Terry Thieme, 10th District Supervisor. He's got a campaign for re-election. And I know when you're running unopposed, you still got to get out there and you got to get the votes. You want to show, you want to discourage some people from running against you maybe next time. But he also, it's a great opportunity to engage with everybody. And, you know, during our, when we were both in the city council during our tenures, getting out and hitting the bricks in our little district there, it was walkable or a short drive. But now Terry's got the town of Brookfield, wards 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Got the city of Pewaukee, wards 1, 2, 9, 10, and 11. And the city of Waukesha, wards 1, 2, 3, and 6. So how do you plan on covering all that area?
Well, you drive and you park and then you walk. And that's how I started out, my first term coming around. And it's really no different than an alderman, just a larger area and is still the boots on the ground and walking and knocking on doors.
Nice. Speaking of knocking on doors, Mayor Sean Riley's here. Would you mind letting him in, Terry? We do it rough and ready here. I think you guys know each other. Yeah. So this will be a lot of fun. All right. So thank you for doing that, Terry.
Absolutely.
Continuing to serve. So, the plan is to try to cover as many of those areas as possible before the, when's the election in April for you?
April 2nd. April 2nd.
Yep.
Is.
Yep. So you'll be hitting the bricks, or at least you'll be more driving than walking.
Yes, it is April 2nd. Yeah. Sure. And you know, it's, my philosophy hasn't changed from when I first ran for county supervisor. No surprise, but law enforcement, the safe communities. You know, it's we talked about before about the prosecution, and everybody wants to create a new law to do this, that, or the other thing. You know, simply enforce the ones that you have and make these folks accountable, releasing them and you know, not doing anything or minimal punishment. If it's a fine, you know, they don't pay their fines, okay, you get your driver's license suspended, or sure. I guess worst case scenario, you get a warrant issued for you, you sit out the time for the warrant, and then you're on your way again. With some of these driving offenses, and again, I'm not in the administration of any of this, I guess that way the mechanics of everything would be to the experts in law enforcement now, but I would have to think that there's a way with some of these driving violations. You know, you tow their car. If they don't have accessibility to a car, that's going to stop some of the bad driving thing, and then hold the owners of the vehicle accountable. With the vehicle thefts, I guess that throws that out the window, but you know, then you got to hold these people accountable that are committing these. And that's, sure. You enforce what you have on the sure. books. You don't have to create a bunch of new laws, enforce yeah. And strongly enforce.
Sure. Now, yeah, because I heard, you know, there's a whole slew of thefts, mostly in the city of Milwaukee, involving Hyundais and like types of Hondas. I guess they're easy to break into and steal. That hasn't happened so much here in Waukesha County, in just to your knowledge, right?
And I don't think it has. I know we had a couple incidents at Carroll and everything. Okay. But, you know, I don't really think it has. You know, for the most part, I think Waukesha County is a very safe community. The city of Waukesha certainly
sure.
is.
Sure.
And we aren't facing a lot of the issues. Now, one of the things that is happening is crime is filtering out from the east.
Yeah.
Recently, within the last, I think, 2 weeks, there was a vehicle theft or attempted vehicle theft from Wild. I'm sorry, one of the car dealerships
really?
In the
right
city.
Right near our home, right near our
right,
neighborhood.
Right near our home, wow. right? And as I understand it, these folks were from a different community.
Sure.
Not east of here either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, crime is from all over, you know, and we just have to, everybody has to keep their eyes out.
Be vigilant.
For everything.
Sure. Sure. Interesting. When you're going around, when you're stump or, you know, when you're going door to door, what are you hearing? So what are the big issues you're hearing from some of your constituents?
Safety is the top of their mind.
Just like you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Safety is the top of everybody's mind. They sure. want a safe community.
Yeah.
Probably a close second is roads. I don't know that the mayor knows anything about roads, but, and that is, and you know, that's the other thing we talked about, staffing, the state staffing for the district attorney's office. You know, there's that surplus in Madison. How about some money for roads? I don't think that there's any city that doesn't have pothole complaints or, you know, with escalating costs when you're rebuilding the roads, you know, the communities need help. You know, it doesn't do any good to sit on a surplus and you know, it's good to let it grow, but when communities are asking for help, that's what they're there for, is to help their constituents, and somehow I think that's getting lost.
Yeah, sure. Do you notice when you're in Brookfield, when you're in Pewaukee, is there much difference in terms of the mentality of the constituents, or is it pretty consistent in terms of what they value?
I think it's consistent all the way around. You know, sure. It doesn't matter. Our location is such that we're really blended communities when it comes right down to it. It's just what level of government is responsible for what.
Sure, sure. So, before we get to the second hour, we have 1 minute. Who'd you like better as an executive, Sean Riley or Paul Farrow? Only kidding. You don't have to answer that. Sean's joining us next, so we figured we'd poke a little fun. So. But much more to talk about with the Fighting Saint, Terry Thieme, as we approach the second hour. And joining Terry and myself is an old friend of ours, a Rotarian, who you know as Mayor Sean Riley, talking about the blues concert, Winter Blues Concert next Sunday. So, plus Lieutenant Dan Natling will also be coming in the second hour to promote the Melodies for Mary, a very special benefit. And the sun is out here on this beautiful Saturday morning. This Week in Waukesha, WAUK, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn.